As one of the founding principals of Tetragon, I'd like to welcome you all to this third quarter results call. We're excited about providing an update on progress to date. The format of the call will be as follows. Phil Bland, the CFO for both Polygon and Tetragon, will present Tetragon's Q3 financials and report on our new quarterly dividend announcement. I'll provide an overview on our portfolio and key performance indicators. Jeff Herlihan, a founding principal of Tetragon, will provide a market outlook and opportunities for Tetragon. Paddy Dear and Mike Rosenberg, both founding principals of Tetragon, are also on the call and will participate during the Q&A section. I'd like to remind everyone that the following contains forward-looking comments, including statements regarding the intentions, beliefs, or current expectations concerning performance and financial conditions on the products and markets in which Tetragon invests. Our performance may change materially as a result of many possible events or factors. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Phil Bland, our CFO.
Thanks so much, David. As before, I'm going to focus my comments on the performance of the consolidated business, which covers Tetragon Financial Group Limited, or TFG, which is the Euronext-listed company, Tetragon Financial Group LP, a U.S. feeder fund, and Tetragon Financial Group Master Fund Limited. TFG, the listed entity, currently owns 94% of the combined business. I'm pleased to report that Tetragon's business has performed very well during Q3, despite what has clearly been a very difficult quarter for the global financial system, and in particular for elements of the credit markets. Jeff will talk later about the market environment. This is the first time that the Tetragon business can report comparable quarter-on-quarter results, and the Q3 results reflect a fully invested portfolio, which continues to perform well, particularly in terms of defaults and cash generation. I'll now run through some of the highlights from the consolidated statement of operations, which we issued to our website earlier today. Starting with EPS, our earnings per share in the quarter were $0.37, up 12% from Q2, when we reported $0.33 per share. The EPS for September was around $0.12 per share and held up well. Our top-line consolidated revenues grew by 21% from Q2 to Q3, as deals which closed during the second quarter generated a full quarter's income and IRRs stayed stable. As you'll be aware, we review and recalibrate the assumptions used to generate our IRRs on our portfolio on a monthly basis. Although we've seen some significant fluctuations, particularly in interest rates and prepayment rates, our actual default levels remain close to zero, and David will comment further on that later. After incorporating the latest available information on, for example, defaults, recoveries, and reinvestment spreads, the weighted average IRRs on our transactions remain basically unchanged at 16.4%, albeit that this is now being earned across a larger portfolio. David's going to provide some further color on the portfolio in the following section. Our operating expenses, excluding incentive fees, grew at 21% quarter-on-quarter, which is in line with income. There are two main categories: management fees, which broadly scale with the level of funds under management, and interest charges, which are driven mainly by the size of the portfolio and the level of leverage. Leverage has remained pretty stable during the quarter at around 1.13. Our net investment income grew by about 20% in the quarter. Moving down the operating statements to gains on investments and hedges, our net unrealized and realized gains and losses on investments and hedges total a gain of around $3 million in Q3, which is exactly the same as we experienced in Q2. Within Q3, we saw some volatility in the gains and losses from hedging, but during the quarter, we generated a net gain on our hedges of $3.9 million. Incentive fees, as you'll be aware, reflect a 25% fee on gains over a hurdle rate, which is currently 8% per annum, and these fees grew by 15% quarter-on-quarter, again reflecting a strong performance. Bringing all that together, our net income grew by 18% quarter-on-quarter. Looking at consolidated net assets, They've increased from $1.27 billion at the start of the quarter to $1.29 billion at the end. So that, and that really reflects two main forces. One, the strong performance in the quarter, but also a dilution effect due to the payout of our first dividend in early Q3. That brings me on to our Q3 dividend announcement. As I commented on our last quarterly call, it's the board's intention both to pay dividends on a quarterly basis, but also to reinvest part of the net income back into the business. And at yesterday's board meeting, the board of TFG approved the payment of a dividend for the quarter of 15 cents per share, which is consistent with the level we paid in Q2. So going forward, we expect to recommend dividends to the board consistent with performance and cash flow. Investors will have the opportunity to receive their Q3 dividend either fully or partially in the form of shares rather than cash through TFG's optional stock dividend program, and about 14% of shareholders elected to use that program for the Q2 dividend. In summary, from my perspective, despite the highly challenging market environment, the management team and board are delighted to have delivered strong performance in the third quarter of 2007, measured in income growth, earnings per share growth, and net asset growth. And with that, I'd like to pass to David to comment on TFG's portfolio and risk profile.
Thanks, Phil. I'll quickly take you through an update on the present portfolio and also talk a bit about the key performance metrics that we review in order to assess overall performance. As at the end of Q3, the investment portfolio totaled $1.5 billion across 67 distinct CDO transactions with 37 different collateral managers. This is up from $1.4 billion as of end of Q2. During the quarter, Tetragon closed two new transactions and successfully rolled one warehouse position into a CLO vehicle, bringing the total value of Q3 investments to $83 million. The portfolio remains largely composed of exposure to senior secured loans through CLOs, with 95.3% of risk capital invested in broadly syndicated and middle market senior secured loans across both U.S. and European markets. The balance of the risk capital is invested in CDO squared transactions, representing 3.5%, with over 50% of this risk being exposed to senior secured bank loans, and one direct ABS structured finance deal representing just 1.2% exposure. On a look-through basis, Tetragon's exposure to senior secured loans has increased to $16.9 billion, diversified across approximately 1,675 distinct corporate obligors, up from approximately $15 billion and 1,650 obligors at the end of Q2 2007. Overall, 79.6% of our exposure is U.S. obligations and 20.4% of our exposure resides in European names. At present, we consider Tetragon to be in a fully invested position and continue to opportunistically deploy cash flow generated from returns on our investments. We are currently running minimal portfolio leverage of 1.13 times, that's 13%. On a look-through basis, our effective Tier 1 ratio equates to 7.6% based on our exposure to $16.9 billion in senior secured loans, underpinned by $1.29 billion of equity capital. We currently have 221.6 million net financing positions outstanding as of September 30th, defined as repo and swap borrows minus free cash on the balance sheet. We have financing documents in place with six firms and are presently using four finance providers, whom all have provided us evergreen term funding arrangements. As Phil mentioned, the weighted average IRR in our investments is 16.4%. While Tetragon has match-funded floating-rate assets and floating-rate liabilities, producing a LIBOR plus total return, so overall LIBOR movements are relevant to some extent on that overall weighted average IRR figure. As our portfolio continues to season, our deals continue to be increasingly cash generative. The recent credit spread widening is beginning to benefit Tetragon as our portfolio of senior secured loans turn over and are reinvested at higher spread levels. Our portfolio continues to run at an inception-to-date annualized default rate of 0.02% per annum. This is 95% below the S&P 2007 default rate of 0.42% per annum on a principal-weighted basis. We expect to continue this trend regardless of the default environment, in that we believe that our loan portfolio managers, through varying credit cycles, have tended to outperform the market averages and will continue to do so. As of September 2007, expected losses accrued and reserved equals $88.6 million, as actual collateral losses remain significantly below accrued collateral loss levels. This valuation reserving approach is one we feel is conservative, prudent, and unique in the marketplace. Tetragon's Q3 prepayment rate on senior secured loans was approximately 5%, in line with market levels, while Q3 loan prepayment speeds have declined from a 10% quarterly average of recent, this still constitutes a meaningful 20%+ annualized turnover rate on loan assets and is allowing our collateral managers to participate in the current spread widening environment. Our exposure to covenant light loans is approximately 15.9%, well below the 35% new issue levels that were prevalent a few months ago. We expect this percentage to decline over time as managers reinvest surplus cash and prepaying assets in loan products with firmer covenants and better structural protection. Our exposure to second lien loans is approximately 5% and significantly below the market norms of 10 to 15%. As you know, we put limitations on this form of exposure when we structure our deals. Tetragon's macro and single name hedging program resulted in $3.9 million in hedge gains for Q3 versus $2 million in hedge gains realized for Q2. Once again, technical factors and risk mitigation led to spread widening and resulting hedge gains ahead of any specific credit deterioration. We continually review our overall hedge program and hedge single name concentration exposures, with no single net exposure being above 80 basis points of total loan assets. With that, I'll turn it over to Jeff to take us through the market outlook.
Thanks, Dave. I'd like to talk a little bit about existing market conditions and the near-term outlook. The current dislocation in the credit markets that we're experiencing, including the senior secured bank loan space, represent a near-perfect environment for Tetragon's structured exposure to senior secured bank loans. The technical supply-demand imbalance that began to shape in July has continued to persist and have caused bank loan spreads to widen significantly, and yet default levels continue to remain benign. Given Tetragon's 14-year locked-in financing, the current situation allows the company to capture higher asset yields as our portfolios turn over in the wider loan spread environment. This near-perfect mix of wider asset spreads with very low default levels has prompted many people to ask the question, how long will this ideal situation last? Let's attack that question by examining each of the two components that are contributing to this ideal environment. First, bank loan spreads. Our portfolios were originally constructed with average loan spreads of approximately LIBOR plus 250 basis points. The supply-demand imbalance that has pushed the current average bank loan spread out to approximately LIBOR plus 336 basis points at the end of September. On the supply side, most major banks continue to work out of the bank loan overhang that has been the topic of many recent headlines, a backlog that is now estimated to be $250 billion. We believe that the banks will continue to work off this excess supply at significant price concessions. CLO issuance, a major source of bank loan demand, is down substantially from the first half and expected to stay below its historical average levels as investors reevaluate their involvement in all types of securitized product. Thus, it appears that the supply-demand imbalance will keep loan spreads well above the historic average levels for the near term. In addition, with private equity shops looking for a substantial amount of additional bank financing to complete their deep deal pipeline, the supply-demand imbalance appears to be contributing to a higher quality of new issue bank loan product. Therefore, we feel that for the near term, bank loan spreads will remain wide of historic average levels and well wide of the tight levels at which we originally constructed the portfolio. Now let's discuss the other part of the equation, loan defaults. At the end of September, the aggregate loan market default level stood at a mere 55 basis points, well below the average historic level of 3.1%. While it's difficult to envision this situation improving further, we don't expect a significant pickup in default levels either. Corporate balance sheets remain in good health, and the new issue bank loan quality continues to improve in terms of leverage and covenant protection. These two factors should keep bank loan default levels at below the historic average for the near term. In addition, we expect to organically build our loan loss reserves at an increasing pace as the wider spread environment works its way through our portfolio and increases both our net interest margin and cash flow. Now let me talk briefly about the CLO market. CLOs make up approximately 60% of the demand for bank loans. CLO new issuance has declined significantly as debt investors in these structures have become more selective. We see this as a welcome and healthy correction to a CLO market that in the past afforded entrance to managers indiscriminate to their bank loan experience. We are now seeing signs that the CLO new issuance will pick up over the next few quarters as investment banks work out of their deal backlog by securitizing loan warehouses, which effectively clear the decks for new CLO issuance, albeit at a much lower level than what we have seen over the past 12 months. Again, we feel this restrained CLO demand is healthy and will serve as an important check and balance on future bank loan issuance. In short, we like what we see. We see Tetragon benefiting from the widening spreads in the bank loan market that have been sparked by a technical supply-demand imbalance, not by any fundamental deterioration in corporate credit. And we see this environment persisting over the near term. With that, I'd like to turn it back over to Shane to open it up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's the number 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There'll be a short silence whilst participants register their questions. Just to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's the number 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. We have a question from the line of Matt Harnett from Anchorage Capital, New York. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, guys. Great set of results. Congratulations. Just one quick question to you. With respect to sort of putting money to work now, given the high price of CLO liabilities right now, what sort of structural features are you looking for so that you don't get into trouble if the situation occurs that sort of within a year's time spreads go back to sort of pre-summer levels on the underlying assets? I apologize if you already covered this in the conference call. I came on a little late.
No, thanks. This is Jeff. We didn't cover it already. Good question. Exactly. The liability structure right now for new issue CLOs is commensurate with the wider loan spreads, but as you point out, loan spreads, you know, will move around over time. So we are looking at some unique structures right now that would allow us to be able to adjust the liabilities going forward on a much shorter term basis than currently reside in CLOs over the past issuance in the past few years. So there are ways in which to construct portfolios now that will be able to accommodate tighter spreads in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Tim Wengred. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good morning. I was wondering if you guys could talk about any, I know you're fully invested, you know, if there's any sort of thought of, ways to increase leverage or grow the portfolio. And
hi, it's David here. What we envision doing is really using our retained earnings to continue to invest in the marketplace and grow the business accordingly. And that's at present run rates over 10%+ in retained earnings. On top of that, we would consider increasing the portfolio leverage a bit if we're able to obtain cash flow term financing. So we really don't want to increase our repo and swap-based financing, but want to look for cash flow term-type financing if we were to increase our leverage and do further investments. We're presently in discussions with a series of investment banks about different opportunities in that, in that case.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have any further questions, please press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's the number 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. We appear to have no further questions at this time, so I'll hand the conference call back to you.
Okay, thank you everyone for participating and taking the time. Again, if you have any further questions, we're obviously happy to answer them directly, and please feel free to give us a call. Thanks.